You're listening to Crosspoint Community Church in LaGrange, Texas podcast. To learn more about Crosspoint Community Church, including service times and how you can connect, please visit crosspointchurchtx.org.
Well, hey, good morning. Good to see y'all. Hey, we continue our series. Obviously, this is not the normal setup with Pastor Chris. And remember last week you got to meet Eric. And as we talked about addictions, and this week you get to meet my friend Lorraine. And I say hi, Lorraine. And her husband Gary is over here as well. Gary, particularly, he has known me since kindergarten. Lorraine's known me, I guess, high school is when we met. And so they know, like, all the rules at the church that I grew up at. The reason those rules are there are because of me. And so, like, all the dumb stuff that Chris did when I was younger. And but usually Gary was the one either telling me I should do it or with me, and so we're the reasons. But anyway, if you ever want to know all the things about Pastor Chris before pastoring, Gary and Lorraine would know it. But anyway, so Lorraine is a licensed profession counselor and has all those other things after her name as well. She is the lead counselor for Stitch Family Counseling Ministries, the Victoria branch, and she'll talk more about Stitch here in a moment. But and you have multiple counselors that are part of that ministry in Victoria, and so I know some of you we've sent people to be a part of the deal down there, and a great ministry. And so actually, she's one of the big reasons of how we've been able to afford and be able to do the counseling ministry that God is putting before us even today. And so she's a part of that. But anyway. So before you talk a little bit about Stitch and all those stuff, today we're going to talk about trauma. And one of the things that, as I was studying this and thinking about this, and I mean, it's been a long time of studying, but in particular, like, intensely the last few weeks, one of the things that I came to my mind was we have a tendency to judge what we don't understand. And so there are those that are in life and they're struggling with something, and it's that old adage of, until you walk a mile in someone's shoes, you really don't understand it. And so we have a tendency to judge what we don't understand. And sometimes, maybe even many times, some of the stuff that people are dealing with or the reason they react or don't react to different things is because of trauma in their life. And so what is trauma? Trauma, the Greek word is pronounced trauma, and it literally means wound, that you've been deeply wounded in some way, in some capacity. And I hadn't really thought about it before, Lorraine, but trauma is all throughout the Bible. As a matter of fact, it's even in Genesis at the very beginning that Cain premeditated the murder of his own brother. And so that's the beginning of trauma outside of that. And so we live in a fallen world, and so trauma is inevitable because Adam wanted an apple pie and Eve pulled an apple down and ate it. And so, but all throughout the Bible, there's trauma. There's assaults, there's enslavement, there's kidnappings, there's floodings, there's fires, there's hail, there's plagues, there's war and more. And so as we think about it as a church, like, that's, God's not surprised by it.
No.
And God is in it and works through it, and he does what he needs to do. And so we'll talk more about that as well. But so that this is really my contribution to the whole thing. So y'all can applaud because I'm done pretty much. And that's my knowledge of this, and so I'm going to hand it off to my friend Lorraine. So Lorraine, tell us a little bit more about what trauma is and all that.
Okay. Again, thank you for having me. I just want to tell you a little bit about who I work for. I work for South Texas Children's Home, Stitch Ministries. I do work for the counseling branch. We've got four different ministries that have about 9 ministries total and all that, from child care, single parents. But we've got, we're in Houston, Victoria, Corpus, San Antonio, and down in the valley. But what makes what we do unique is we are distinctly Christian while applying the professional and the counseling techniques. But what Stitch does that's different than anybody else is that we do it at no cost to you. The children that come into care, the moms that come into care with their kids to get healing and back on their feet, and the people from 3 to 103, now I've seen a 92-year-old in my office, but all of that is on a donation basis. We don't take any state or federal funding for anything that we do. If a child comes into care, by the time they're a senior, we will even pay for them to go to college. And so we just...
This is like the residential...
That's the right, the children, somebody, yeah. right part of it. In the counseling ministry, we ask for a donation, but if you can't, that's totally fine. We're here to help you. And so it's a calling on our life to do this, because you get people that go into counseling. I've had people come to me talking about... church hurt, something we'll talk about. Some people have counseling hurt. They've gone to secular counselors, you know, and with marriage issues and told to, well, you just need to leave. And that's not what we do. Anyway, just love what I do. But today we're here to talk about trauma. And he can put up the first slide up there. There is different kinds of trauma that you go that people can experience. Acute, chronic, and complex. Acute is something that most people have experienced. It's usually a one-time event. It can be a car wreck. It could be bitten by a dog. For me, about 3 years ago, my mom's house burned. Early in the morning, Gary and I got a phone call that her house was on fire. And we live out in the country. She lives in town. And when I'm driving to her, to get to her, I have to kind of cross over this overpass, this bridge, and I could see the smoke from town, and I knew that was her house. And for a long time, as I would drive into town going to work, I would look over there and I could visualize that plume of black smoke coming up. And it took me a little bit to not see that. And so that's what kind of acute, it's kind of a one-time thing. But then other people experience chronic or complex. Chronic is kind of the same thing that happens over and over again. It could be living in a household either where you're witnessing like domestic violence, or you're the victim of abuse that's just happening over and over again. Complex is whenever there's a lot of trauma, different types of trauma that happen at different stages of life or different phases. You could have a child that was a victim of abuse or neglect, and then they get to school and they're being bullied there, or they have some unfairness there, or then they experience a natural disaster. We all know, y'all experienced Hurricane Harvey. Most recently, several of us went up to the Kerrville area and counseled flood victims and people. We saw a few people that were actual victims of the flood, but we also saw several first responders. And one young lady that we just spoke to a few weeks ago, she experienced her own childhood trauma, but now she was there 2 days after the flood and was diving for bodies, was pulling bodies out, and she's still there coordinating. She's got complex trauma. She's experienced it because she's had different phases of life, different trauma. And so it's just important to recognize that there's different types. There's the secondary trauma. And that's something that Chris and I both have experienced in different ways. And you might experience, if you've got a friend that's gone through it, sometimes as they divulge the details to that, you experience it too. I know that God has called me to this work to be a Christian counselor, but there are times that I will go home and Gary will notice something different, or I'll just tell him, I just had a case today and I can't get it out of my head. And sometimes it takes me a little while. I'm sure you've had times of that as well.
Yeah, that's not something they tell you in seminary.
No, it's not.
Is that you're gonna
or school.
Yeah, that you're going to take on other people's traumas, and
right,
that you're literally going to bear other people's burdens.
Yeah.
And it's hard because you want to be in it with them in
right,
that moment and like experience it and be empathetic and compassionate, even though you may not have experienced something like that, but you want
right,
to be in it with them. And then whatever that transaction is, like you carry like piece of that with you. And it is hard because
mm-hmm,
we are, you know, we're mental beings. And so we reimagine that trauma. And so in some ways we almost experience it.
Yeah,
it's a weird
it
phenomenon for sure.
It is.
So complex is obviously that's the reason they call it complex because it's difficult. It's multi-layered, multiple
yeah,
layers of the onion.
Yeah.
The secondary, like you talked about, first responders, doctors, counselors, even family and friends.
Mm-hmm.
Generational.
Yeah.
Right. Which is, we see that like through Holocaust or slavery or something like that. There's some of those type of things that it carries. Like the view of life and world changes because of that, changes generational things. Unfortunately, religious trauma, that you've been what we call church hurt, and there's different levels of church hurt, and that some of that's intentional, some of it's not intentional,
right,
but the impact that that has on your view of God, and then also then how you view yourself and how you do community.
Yeah.
And then one that I think it was officially, like, the term was turned over to PTSD, like, in 1980.
Yeah, that's kind of the diagnosis that came about.
Kind of changed. But originally, like, we would call it shell shock. Like, the guys, they would call shell shock. They're coming back from war or whatever, and that kind of thing. And then also that, I don't know why they did it, defined it differently for men and women, but women, it was called hysteria.
Right.
And hysteria. And my wife has said, maybe I have that. And so, hysteria. But the interesting thing, like the Greek word for hysteria literally means womb or uterus. And one of the original solutions for hysteria was a hysterectomy. And so I'm glad that, ladies, I'm glad for you, but that is still not the thing. And for us as guys, yeah, I don't know. But talk a little bit about PTSD, because that's something that we don't realize that I think many of us, because of wars and all that we're more aware of it.
Right.
But there's more types of PTSD and reasons for PTSD besides war. Can
Absolutely.
Talk to that?
Yeah. Even what the example that I gave to you before, whenever I saw the smoke coming from my mom's house, that was PTSD. It's sometimes when you relive it, something or a similar situation happens and it takes you back to that place. That's kind of what PTSD is where you just kind of literally can't get it out of your head. It shows up in different places.
Talk about like what you've seen as far as like how much like trauma impacts us and maybe even particularly PTSD. Some of the impacts that it has on us or things we should be looking for someone that's struggling with trauma.
Okay. I want to get a little nerdy for you just a second with that trauma really does affect the brain. When someone says it's in your head, it really is. If y'all can show the second slide up there. So there's three different areas in your brain that are really affected by it. So there's this prefrontal cortex. That's what we joke about, you know, in boys, it doesn't develop till later. But in humans, it's really not fully developed until you're about 25. And that's your higher order thinking, your critical thinking. So there's that's affected. There's something that in the blue, it's called the hippocampus, that's in charge of memory. That's affected, and that's why whenever if there's a crime scene, witnesses to that crime will sometimes describe it differently. One of my best friends a number of years ago was the victim of a violent crime. She was in her car talking to someone. She was a juvenile probation officer, and another car drove by, shot and killed him actually, and narrowly missed my friend. She remembered the car, I'll get this mixed up, but she remembered the car being blue when it was brown. Because in that moment, I mean, her brain was on overload from that traumatic experience. And so that's where the hippocampus comes in. And then there's the amygdala, that's a small almond-shaped part of your brain that's the kind of really activates whenever a trauma happens. And it's like that alarm bell going on, you know, that's telling you there's trauma here, you know, in your brain, you kind of start to shut down. But in all of these, those parts of your brain, literally, it will show that it shrinks. Years ago, there's a book out there that's called the Psychopath Whisperer. And it's this guy that's an MRI tech that got permission to go into the prisons, and he did MRIs on serial killers. And he found that their amygdala is smaller and looks different than the rest of us. And that's just fascinating to me. I mean, that's one reason why I get jazzed up about what I do in counseling, because I love figuring out why people do what they do. And so your brain really does change whenever you've been through a traumatic event. And so it affects, where someone that might have been, as we're getting into talking about the impact of it, someone that used to be calm and kind of mild manner might have anger outburst now. And so we can throw up the next slide and we'll start talking about the kind of the impacts of it. I guess we'll go to the trauma responses. There's the fight, flight, and the two newest ones are freeze and fawn. So the fight and flight we all know about. We're either fighting, we're anxious, we're mad, we're having anger outburst. Flight, we're leaving the situation. I don't think mine has changed over the years. I think I used to withdraw, and now I'm more tend to want to figure it out. And
that's usually like how spouses find each other, right? Like if one likes to fight, the other one flight, and we. That's
right.
How we,
yeah. So trying to manage that. But that flight, that's the anxiety that comes out. That kind of they start panicking more and worrying more, or they also start avoiding. The freeze is you start shutting down. Maybe you don't go out and interact with friends anymore like you used to because you can't handle it. The fawning is kind of like the fainting idea, but it's you start people pleasing because you don't your world has been so disruptive before that now you'll do anything to please people because you just don't want to rock the boat. You've had so much conflict that trauma has just rocked your world and again your brain is just so activated that sometimes you'll do anything at all cost to keep the peace.
I thought of the fainting goats when
yes.
we were talking about this.
Similar.
I saw a deal this week even where a possum was trying to get some candy out of a pumpkin, and it was attached, the pumpkin was attached to an automated, like, skeleton that whenever it moved at a certain, the skeleton would do this.
Yes.
Well, the possum was trying to get candy, and the skeleton did its thing, and the possum just fell off.
Yeah, that's like, it.
Yeah.
Similar.
So, a little bit about childhood trauma. Mm-hmm. There's an assessment is the right word to say, the mm-hmm. ACE study or assessment.
Mm-hmm.
What is that and how does that use and what are they trying to
well,
do?
Well, so there's an assessment that can be done, but there's the ACE study was done several years ago. And I want to say they interviewed like 17,000 people. Which is a good study. Beware of whenever you hear about studies, if you see that they got information from 5 or 10 people, that's not a big enough study. But it was the point was it asked about its adverse child experience is the ACE, and the more traumatic experiences that a child has, the more likely they are to have there to be challenges as an adult. There's an assessment. We do it whenever a kid comes into care, and it just kind of gives us a snapshot of what's going on.
So I'm hearing you say trauma at whatever level, there's multiple mm-hmm. levels of trauma, impacts the entire person.
Yeah.
So it impacts, one, how we function, so how we relate to other people, deal with whatever. It impacts our mental health, our mm-hmm. physical health, our emotional health. Mm-hmm. Our spiritual well-being.
Yeah, yeah.
And so there's a great book I read, I don't know how many years ago now, but it's called The Body Keeps the Score.
Yeah.
And it's this wonderful thing that they show us that literally, like, we will have physical
Absolutely.
Ailments or the body will tell us if we just begin to learn that you're reliving or you're having this moment with this trauma and it's coming out in this way. Can you talk about
sure.
that?
Yeah. So you've all had like the first day of school or whenever you have to come up and speak, you might get butterflies in your stomach. So that's kind of getting into that. You feel a little bit nervous or anxious and you just start feeling funny. Sometimes children, if they're being picked on at school, if they've got a personality conflict with a teacher, they'll start telling their mom, I don't feel good. I don't want to go, they won't say, I don't want to go to school. They'll say, I don't feel good. And so the mom may let them stay home that day. But then they're finding that several times, multiple times, they're getting where they don't feel good. They don't want to go to school. There's something going on. And they really may not be faking it. They're not feeling good. Very much so when someone has experienced trauma, I can almost guarantee it's going to come out in their body in some form or fashion. Several years ago, I was seeing a veteran that experienced kind of the worst of the worst. He was in active combat. He was in special ops. He was the one that did some of those like waterboarding type activities. He participated in war, but he was also, people were injured on his watch. He injured others unintentionally, things like that. And so he came to me as we were talking about it, and he developed something that's called conversion disorder. And it's like that extreme somatic response. But he got to where he was having strokes and there was no physical cause for it. They did MRIs, they did CAT scans, they did all the blood work. There was no physical cause for him to have a stroke, but yet he was having strokes. He was having memory. He went into early dementia. He was in his late 40s at this point, and he was already experiencing dementia. His wife actually, on his iPad and on their refrigerator, had pictures of his wife and his two kids. Because sometimes he would wake up in the morning and he didn't remember who they were. And usually by the afternoon he would kind of come out of it. But yeah, it's very much so. Your body shows itself whenever there's trauma.
So if someone has experienced trauma at whatever level, what are some steps that they need to take, they should take, or they should be looking at?
Yeah. Recognizing that you've been through a traumatic event. I probably recognize that my mom's fire was a traumatic event because I'm a counselor, but someone else may or may not, you know, if you weren't the one that it happened to, you may not think that that was you. But sometimes people that have been through the traumatic event don't recognize that, I mean, either they're just minimizing it for their own self-protection, or they just realize, well, no, it was no big deal. So it's, first of all, it's just, the whole recognizing of a problem is half the battle. But then start to take care of yourself. Exercising. I know it sounds cheesy. Not all of us like to exercise. I don't particularly like to exercise, but I always feel better once I get my rear end off the couch and go exercise. It's because that exercise really does release natural endorphins to help you out. Eating well, making an appointment with friends, because the tendency when you've been traumatized, when you've got an event, is just to isolate and withdraw. So forcing yourself out of the house. I'm going to step on some toes here whenever I say get out on Sunday morning and come into church like all of you good people have done. I understand there's a place for staying home. I really do, whenever you're sick or whatever. But sometimes people can start doing that as a coping mechanism. They just don't want to get out. I've got a client right now that I have to warn every time I see her. Okay, did you get up and go to church? Well, no, I stayed home. Get out. God calls us into community. There's healing in community. There's healing in being with other believers that can support you. And then, of course, seeking professional help. Sometimes you can't do it all on your own. That's why God has called people like me to help you. And there's different things that we can do. I don't know if you want to get into that or not, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we talk about it here, right? There's a power of presence, and that there is a convenience to online church when you're sick or when you're traveling or you're doing all that, but there's nothing replaces being in church with other people that you know, and that you know that the other people love you, and that when someone asks, how are you doing, they really, in general, we mean it. Mm-hmm. Now, we have a tendency to put on our mask and say we're fine, even if we're not.
Yeah.
That's our problem. But one of the things we actually talked about last week, in particular, Lorraine, was I read a great book a few years ago. Like, what if church was more like an AA meeting, and that everyone identified and said, "Hey, I'm a sinner."
Amen.
And that we all need each other, and that's what true biblical community is. Is that we're truly known, and our identity is found in Christ and
Absolutely.
In the church. And so, anyway, I can preach on that for a long time.
Well, yeah, but there is something to be said. I really try when people ask me, "How are you?" I really try not to say I'm fine if I'm not. Sometimes I'm like, well, I haven't killed anyone today. So far so good. That's more often my response nowadays, so far so good. And that could be 6 o'clock at night because, there's still a few hours left. But also when you're talking to someone that's been through a traumatic event, for one thing, keep talking to them. If someone's had an event, a lot of times people will come around them right away and be with them to see, if they need help or what they can do if they've lost someone. Because, losing a loved one is a traumatic event. And people are all around whenever it first happens. But then after the funeral and all that, it kind of drops off. But a big thing is don't minimize someone's response. Someone, it may still be, 6 months after the event, and someone is still withdrawing. They're still having anger outbursts. They're still experiencing things. just because to you that's no big deal, like a car wreck or something, you know, you've been through a car wreck and you came through it fine. You know, even if you both had the same kind of car wreck, you both had it where airbags came out and all that, and you're fine with it. We all experience life and react to life differently. So what's a crisis to you or what's a crisis to them may not be a crisis to you. And so if you've got someone in your life that is experiencing something and you can tell they're still struggling, keep listening to them. Please don't, you know, I mean, especially with grief, you know, well, you should be over it by now. No, everyone grieves differently. Everyone reacts to trauma differently. And again, this is something that's come up for Gary and I recently, just talking about it, that your reaction is your reaction, and that's okay, even if it's not mine.
I think, depending on how you grow up, right? I mean, yeah. I think, especially in Texas, we have a cowboy culture, so yeah. to speak, of like tough or athlete, you know, like get on it. Like I used to have a coach that said, I've had bigger scratches on my eyeball, get over it.
Right.
And I think that that's kind of the mindset sometimes we talk about. It's just life. Like, it's life coming at us. How are you going to deal with it? Move on, push it away, and we squash it until something happens. And then we explode. Generally, as I've said here, generally we explode in those moments on the people we love most and feel safest with, which is our wife or our kids or, you know, workmates or whatever. And so in that moment. But so what are some tools that can help us? Like, we're saying, hey, We've got some friends, we're doing church, we're doing some of the things you're talking about, but we need a little bit more maybe to deal with it. What are some tools that are out there for us?
Yeah. So, again, seeking out a professional counselor that can help you. We can help you. There's cognitive behavioral. That's just, if I can help you change the way you think, then I can change the way you feel. If I can change the way you think and do things differently, then that'll change the way you feel. There's something that I do called EMDR. It's called eye movement desensitization and reprocessing, but it's not always using eye movements. It sounds like voodoo, but I promise that it's not. But it's where we take you back to the memory, and it's not going to make you forget the memory, but I take you back there because there's always a negative thought attached to that. And that's oftentimes why we're still experiencing the trauma, because you thought, well, I could have done something more. I should have done something more. If I'd only been in control, then I could have done that. So we connect it with a negative thought first, but then we replace it with a positive thought. And a lot of times that's with God's truth. As well as, you know, not whether they weren't in control or that, but you've got that Jesus was with you in that moment. I saw a client a number of years ago who went through unspeakable traumas. I had some secondary trauma as a result of that. But we did a little bit of EMDR, but she was asking, I asked her the question, where do you think Jesus was? Or she cried out to me in session, where was Jesus? And I said, I don't know, where was Jesus? And I said, let's figure it out. And she was able to, in those moments of horrific things that she was going through, she was able to see Jesus. It was amazing.
That reminds me of this thing we did at our church in Denver called Theophostic Prayer through our counseling center, and we trained people. It was kind of that same idea of asking Jesus, like taking through prayer, taking people back to that moment specifically, and that in that moment, they believed a lie, right, as you talked about, and that just inviting Jesus into that moment and saying, Jesus, you're here, you're present, you're everywhere. What do you say in this moment? And allow Jesus to speak truth to that moment to replace the lie. And person after person after person explained their response was, one, there was complete healing. But it was this thing of like, kind of like the cartoons of like, they believe this lie over here, and this lie just as a cloud just kind of always followed them around and in some ways identified them and all that. And then that moment when Jesus spoke truth, it was just like poof, 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 it went away. And now they walked in a totally different way and they had a new identity and a new purpose and vision because of that. And so that's EMDR, right? Mm-hmm. Lies allowing the truth to be spoken to. And that's what I love, like, that you're saying is that at Stitch, all of us are followers of Jesus that find our identity in Christ. They want people to find the truth of themselves in Christ. And there's tools that are available to be able to do that. So how can we help people? Like, if we notice someone, maybe they have some anger, maybe they have some stuff, and we begin to recognize that and go, you know, maybe that's tied to, how do we help people in that way?
strengthening that relationship that you have with them. You know, sometimes you want to call people out for being a jerk, and sometimes you can. I mean, if Chris had gone through something, I could probably say, Chris, you're being a jerk. You need to, you know, settle down there.
I think you have, yeah.
We did it one time. You know, but it's just gently, it's just doing life with them. And then, you just really seem to be, I noticed the other day you lashed out at someone and then today it just happened again. What's going on? And they may say, I don't know. Well, have you thought about this? Empathizing with them. Sometimes giving them a voice and a name to what they're experiencing. That's what we do when we work with kids. We do something called play therapy. So children don't have the language of emotion. If Chris had lashed out or yelled at me or something, I'm like, you seem really angry. Kids don't have that language. But sometimes even adults don't have that language. And so it's recognizing and kind of gently pointing out, wow, you seem really mad about that. Or man, you just seem really down. I've noticed that you're withdrawing. You haven't been to church in a few weeks. I haven't heard from you. You know, I used to see you at Walmart on every Tuesday and I haven't seen you in a while. You know, wow, what's going on? Because sometimes we often can't see it, what we're doing, because we're just so flooded with the emotion. And so just helping them recognize it, just come alongside them, being their friend. And then you may gently, maybe you should seek some help. I'm a great friend and I'm a great listener, but maybe let's go talk to that guy Chris talked about. Let's go talk to that girl that came and spoke at church and see if there's something, maybe we can help you get to the root of it. Because I guarantee you, they're not happy in their body. they're pretty miserable themselves if they're experiencing any of those things.
And as a pastor, I don't, this is self-reflection. I don't think I'm a very good pastor on different things. And it's a whole other thing. You can help me with $300 an hour therapy. But
no, remember, I'm a donation of, so I'll do it for free.
Because here's why I say that. I mean, there were multiple reasons, but here's one of the reasons. Is that I'm a guy, and that I have a tendency to want to fix things. And so, like, my wife will come to me and say, hey, Chris, I've got X. And so she's learned over the years of, like, I want to talk. I want you to listen. I don't want you to fix it.
Yes.
Like, I just need you to hear me and to listen. And so I literally have to, like, take off my tool belt and be like,
yes,
okay, I'm not here to fix it. I'm not going to work on you. You're not a
yes
problem to be fixed. I'm not reassembling you or adjusting something, whatever,
yes,
to
yes
get it right so that you feel like you just need me to be present.
Yes. Gary has said that's the hardest box for him to be in. You know, guys, y'all operate in little boxes. You operate in kind of one thing at a time. He said to me one time, the hardest box for me is the listen to Lorraine box, because he loves me and he wants to fix it for me. And so we appreciate what you're trying to do, but yes, sometimes we just need you to keep your mouth shut and just listen.
Yeah. Thanks. I think I've heard
and
that
I will
too
say, and, yeah, I, and just like Becky, I have said that I've gone to him and go, okay, I don't want you to fix this. Don't tell me what I did wrong. I already know what I did. I know I screwed up doing this. I don't need you to tell me that. Just listen to me. And he will usually patiently listens to it.
Yeah. It's 50-50, because here's what I do know is that, as I've grown in my life and in faith and in pastoring and in theology, is that all one, that God loves us, and that's our struggle, is to be known by God and be loved.
Yeah.
And then also that also impacts, like, to be known by someone else and for them to still love me too. And so in
yeah
that, like, I, in our fields, people share lots of stuff with us.
Yeah.
One of the things is people will be like, hey, please don't share. And I'm like, listen, I've been gifted with most of the time when someone tells me something, it goes into this box and it gets flushed somewhere. And so I don't really remember.
Yeah, even if you wanted
to. It's
a
God thing, right?
Yeah.
And so because of trauma and things. But here's what I want you to get is that the Bible is relevant to all of life and that 99.9999% of us have some level of trauma or have had trauma or will have trauma in our life. That trauma is in Scripture, and that we can learn from it. And the Bible, the purpose of the Bible is to give us direction, to give us guidance. It reminds us that God's in control, even though we don't understand it. Even in the trauma, that God is in control and that God is working all things to His good. And that's an interesting idea. It's in Romans chapter 8, because trauma has a tendency to make us recast deeply held religious beliefs differently. Yeah. Like, so if someone offends us that's close to us, it can reshape how we think about God and therefore how we do those things. And so in Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and following, it says, the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father who knows all hearts knows what the Spirit is saying, and the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will. And so the context is that in relationship with God, there's moments in life, there's things in life that we don't even know what we need to pray for. We don't understand it. We're literally groaning out and saying, God, I just need you. You fix it. You heal me. I think this, we talked about this, that word saved in the scripture is sozo, which means to be completely healed and restored in God's eyes. And so that we're saying, God, save me, heal me, restore me. And we don't even know even fully what that means.
Yeah.
But that the Spirit of God that resides within inside of us groans on our behalf, and the Father hears that and responds to that. And the reason that he does that is because of verse 28, which is a verse that if you've grown up in and around church, you've probably heard. And it means this, and we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. And you're like, how can trauma be good? Like, that doesn't, like, my mind doesn't wrap around that, right? Other than understanding that if God's sovereign and God even knows that that trauma has happened and God was even there present in it and it still happened and he could have stepped in, but he didn't. And that, I can't wrap my mind around it. But even in that, we understand that Jesus experienced the most painful, traumatic event a human could possibly experience on the cross. And so therefore, if he's our high priest, as the scripture says, as our high priest, he's experienced everything that we've experienced and even more. And so that as our high priest, he understands even our most traumatic events.
Yeah.
And so in the part of that, so even in these difficult things, God is working those things toward his good and your good, and that you and I can be, through the healing processes, become more and more like Jesus.
Yeah.
Which Paul talks about, I want to join Christ in his sufferings. Mm. Which we don't talk about a whole lot, that in the even the most difficult craziness of life, God can redeem that and restore us and make us more like Jesus, which really is like we're saying more like Jesus on the cross, that I'm everything.
I guess one thing we talked about the spiritual hurt that can come in, whether it was church hurt, but sometimes if we've experienced, especially childhood hurt from our earthly father or even our mother, oftentimes it's hard for us to believe that God the Father could love us and treat us kindly. Because if this human didn't, and I know, you know, human versus spirit, but Christ, wants to heal us from that. He came to heal us from those people that didn't know him, that chose not to follow him, that chose to sin against us. But he wants to heal that. And so if that's something that you've experienced and you're having a hard time understanding that this is a daddy God that loves you beyond belief, that he really is the counselor that wants to heal that hurt. And I can't tell you humanly why he allowed that to happen, but he did. But he's here to restore that and will restore it if you let him.
Can you give us a little disclaimer? Because this is a heavy topic.
Yeah, and when I apologize, I should have done that at the beginning. We have talked about some heavy stuff here. And if you have experienced that, I will be here. Chris has got people. Chris is here to talk to you. Please seek help for this. Don't just sit in this alone. You've got people that love you. I don't know you, but I care about you, and I want to help you. And so if you've got something going on, if you've experienced something, please reach out. Don't just sit on it. Please.
Let's pray. Dear Holy Father, thank you that you're a God in control and that you yourself put yourself in human flesh and experience the depths of our woundedness. and so that you are our great high priest that knows the depths of our hurt and our pain, and that you hear our cries. When we're alone, you hear our cries. When they're aloud, Father, you know us. And Father, I think the beautiful thing about it is that you love us. You don't see us as things to be fixed, but as people to be loved and to drawn into relationship with you. So I pray everyone in this room this morning, if they don't know Jesus, if they don't know you, they don't know that love, that they would say yes to that this morning. And the Father, that if anyone needs to be prayed over, they would seek that this morning. Father, may you be brought glory and honor through our time together. It's in your Son's name that we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Crosspoint Community Church podcast. It is our prayer that this message was encouraging to you as you follow Jesus. For more about Crosspoint Community Church, you can find us online at crosspointchurchtx.org. Have a great week.